And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. You know, many people know that Morgan State University has a world-class choir. It's led by the terrific conductor, Dr. Eric Conway. They have performed at the White House and all around the world. They go on international tours every year. You may not know, however, that Morgan State also has a vibrant opera department where the vocal talents there are showcased in solo settings. So next week, the Morgan State Opera Department is presenting a rarely heard opera based on the lives and love of Paul Laurence Dunbar and Ruth Alice Moore. The opera and its libretto were written by the composer Stephen M. Allen. It is suffused with Dunbar's verse and correspondence between Dunbar and Moore, both of whom are recognized as luminaries of American literature. Here's a clip from a recent rehearsal of the opera. The baritone Lester Lynch performs an aria called "Till the Wind Gets Right."
That's my trouble.
When Gabriel blows his trumpet in the day or in the night, I will still be found waiting till the wind gets right. That's music by Stephen Allen with words from a poem by Paul Laurence Dunbar. Terrific baritone Lester Lynch rehearsing for a performance of Lyrics of Sunshine and Shadow at Morgan State University. I'm joined now in Studio A by the internationally acclaimed classical soprano Marquita Lister and the conductor and keyboard virtuoso Lester Green. They are the artistic director and music director, respectively, for this production of Lyric of Sunshine and Shadow at Morgan State. Welcome to you both. It's good to see you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
So, Marquita Lister, you're directing this production. The title, Lyrics of Sunshine and Shadow, comes from where?
Well, it was actually a book, okay? And from that book was derived this wonderful vision that Stephen and Allen had for us to have an opera that would depict this very turbulent love between these two people. You know, it's hard to imagine that you can fall in love with someone just from a picture and some letters. But back in that time, you know, it made sense. You know, we didn't have cell phones and computers.
Yeah, we're talking the 1800s
right,
here.
Exactly, and post-slavery at that. So it's fascinating. It's brilliantly composed. The story is really compelling. And I felt that the school needed to do it because, number one, it was written by an African-American composer. Number two, we are celebrating two African-American people. And number three, I felt that our students need to understand from whence we have come as people, that, you know, many of the old traditions of being lighter than a paper bag and all of the blue vein society and all of that. And a lot of that plays into this piece where now we're much more embracing of people of all hues of brown.
And Stephen M. Allen, Lester Green, a composer who was, you know, taken by this story. You've done a whole lot of operas. I mean, you and I have done a whole lot of concerts together.
Yes.
Not opera. I don't guess we had never worked on an opera together, but we've worked on lots of operatic-like stuff.
Sure.
When you go to conduct a piece like this, a piece that's not going to be familiar because it's not, you know, Così fan tutte or something. It's not something that everybody's heard a bunch of times. How does the composer pull together these letters and these poems? I mean, is there a strong plot here? I mean, how does this thing, the arc of this, which has to be your concern as a conductor, how does it play out?
Well, it really becomes a collaborative process. I've been involved with this opera for a number of years, and with each cast that we've had, the composer has been present with the working through process, and it really becomes a matter of what does it require in order to tell the story? because he wrote the music for friends of his that were in school with him at Catholic University. And he was just surrounded by these amazing voices. And so when, and he frankly never expected the piece to go anywhere. You know, he told me this a few days ago, and then he was surprised that people took interest in it because of the story and the demands vocally. It requires, you know, one, the classical training. It requires expert ears. It requires expert musicianship. It requires expert acting skills because of what you have to deliver dramatically. And then with, you know, the composer can have an idea sometimes that he puts on paper, but when you put it with a human being who has to deliver it so that it's received by an audience member and creates the effect that you intend, sometimes those things shift around. So it becomes a real collaborative process of storytelling. So when you're thinking about the arc of the piece, you have to consider this as a conductor, because what does it take timing-wise for the breath to happen, for dramatic moments to be there on stage so that it creates the proper effect in the audience. So all of these things come into play.
The silences, and sometimes just as important as the notes. Yeah.
Correct.
And Marquita Lister, it's an interesting time for this opera. This is the Me Too moment that we're in. And this, as you alluded to, is a troubled relationship. I mean, Miss Moore was married three times. Her first marriage was to Paul Laurence Dunbar. They started corresponding in the late 1800s. They met after, you know, 2 years of these love letters. But then they broke up because Mr. Dunbar was violent in that relationship.
Yes.
So the resonance of this for your students, for your for the cast, for the community of folks working on this project, it's timely, isn't it?
It really is. And it's fascinating to watch the young women at the school who are in the production embrace this, because you can see it's definitely a girl-dominated production. And so they have to understand the dynamics that are going on in terms of the mothers, because one of the mothers, she's of Creole descent. You know, she talks about things being fair-skinned and I of a certain kind of posture that you're supposed to have, a certain type of etiquette that you must have. And she really wants her girls to dress a certain kind of way. And then you see the other mother who's very paranoid and very upset about things and very angry about things. And so, you know, it's a very interesting thing that's going on, because when you think about, you meet someone through a letter, you have no idea who that person is and what they're going to do, or they are a creation in your imagination simply from them being a wordsmith, which is what he certainly was.
Yeah.
So I can see why she would fall in love with such beautiful poetry within those letters. And I think he fell in love with the idea of who she thought she was.
Sure.
Okay.
And two young lovers, you know, falling in love against their parents' wishes, nothing new about that, huh? You know,
yeah, and Juliet.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet, exactly. So there is a timeliness to this. Lester Green, working with the students at Morgan, many of whom are doing their first opera or one of their first operatic performances, that's a challenge for a you know, seasoned professional like yourself and Marquita.
Yeah, it is true, because when you look at what it takes to train a young classical singer, I mean, in the curriculum in the program, we do the standard things. You know, they have their language classes, they have their vocal tech lessons, they have access to coachings during the week, and they have their ensemble. But many times in growing programs, it's not often that you get to cross the musical training with the dramatic training. And so a lot of our students at Morgan sing various styles of music, and, you know, They when it all comes together, you know, it's just you use what you can to pull it out of them.
Lucky then that they get to work with artists of your caliber, Marquita Lister and Lester Green.
Thank you.
A leg next week and enjoy it. Thanks so much for coming by. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
Marquita Lister and Lester Green. The show is called Lyrics of Sunshine and Shadows. It's based on the lives and love of Paul Laurence Dunbar and Ruth Alice Moore. There's a performance Tuesday morning, as well as evening performances Thursday and Saturday at the Murphy Fine Arts Center on the campus of Morgan State. WYPR.org/midday has the details. That's it for us. Day. Coming up Monday, we're going to revisit a conversation with Dr. Jeffrey Kahn of the Johns Hopkins Berman Institute of Bioethics about the amazing case of Henrietta Lacks. That's coming up Monday on Midday. We want to thank Bottoms Up Bagels for lunch today. They're a small patch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses. They're inspired by traditions of bagel making dating back to the 1940s. They're available at the Waverly and the JFX Farmers Markets. The Farmers Market of JFX opens on Sunday, and you can order online, too, bottomsupbagels.com. Thanks also to Patango Bakery and Cafe. They're located on South Ann Street in historic Fells Point. They specialize in imported Italian charcuterie and house-made breads and pastries. They're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. with menu and hours on their website, patangogelato.com/bakery. Thanks to our director and engineer, Luke Spicknall, Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produced the program. Jamila Krempel is our digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the midday theme music. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.